Let's talk more rugby league with rugby league journalist Todd Balham, who joins us from up there at Brisbane Broncos. Now, it was meant to be training, Todd, this morning, but it's been delayed. So if Kevy does come out, we understand that you've got to bolt and go to that press conference. What's the feeling been around Brisbane Broncos camp as they head towards round 15?
Oh, I think there's a bit of concern around the Broncos camp, just given what they've dished up in the last 3 weeks. I think they've conceded something like 130 points in three games, and they've got to fix things up. Clearly, they're struggling. They're now equal last on the NRL ladder. Kevy's, you know, he hasn't thrown too many changes into the woodworks this week. He's backed a few of the guys who got a chance last week against the Raiders. But it's a big task, obviously. South Sydney are one of the red-hot teams of the competition. You know, they can put on points as well as anyone. And so I think it's a tough time here at the Broncos at the moment.
What have you made of Kevy's decisions throughout the year? And I think this was always coming, Todd, so I'm interested to get your take on it, where people are saying, mate, you're chopping and changing like crazy, no stability in the halves. Carmichael Hunt comes back in the other week. Is there that side where it is a little bit haphazard, or is there a side to say to Kevy, congratulations for trying everything you can in the first season, knowing it was always going to be a bit of a ramshackle year?
I think he deserves a lot of credit for making the hard call to drop Anthony Milford. First and foremost, he was a player that hadn't fired for the last couple of years, and no coach has had the gumption to actually pull him aside and go, mate, you need to go back to the Q Cup and get some confidence. So from that point of view, he's done a great job and made the hard call, which sometimes coaches have avoided. But you now get into the stage where we've had 7 or 8 halves combinations in 14 games. There's a lot of uncertainty there over who's playing in what position and getting that continuity and fluidity in the team. So I think at some point, Kevy needs to settle on who is taking his team forward. And certainly there are half the guys who are still playing for contracts next year. So I think Kevy's got some big decisions to make in the next 5 or 6 weeks. And certainly the players need to start aiming up. Otherwise, they won't beat the Broncos next year. And I think he's made that pretty clear to all of them.
Reports around that Corey Oates had a showdown with Kevy Walters after missing out on selection again in first grade. Do you know anything about that?
No, we're waiting to talk to Kevy about that because of that reason. You know, Corey he's been in and out of first grade this year. He still has a contract option in his favour for next year. So Corey, you know, probably wants to stay at the Broncos, but at the moment he's been, you know, neglected, not used in first grade. And he had a blinder of a game on the weekend. So that's why it was a bit surprising he wasn't included in this week's 17-man squad. So certainly that'll be one of the questions thrown at Kevy this morning, is where does it stand with Corey Oates and a few of those players as well, because he's not the only one that's under pressure and wanting to stay here but not getting the opportunities he deserves.
They knew that it was always going to be one for the long haul at the start of this season when Kevy comes in. But what's the feeling around like at Red Hill now that the Broncos and Dogs are both on the bottom, as you say, of the ladder? If they win back-to-back spoons, it shows that Kevy hasn't had the ability to improve on last year. Is there any talk of pressure back on this, or are they playing the long game?
Well, I think they're playing the long game. Obviously, they've had a new CEO start this year, and Dave Donaghy, who needs to take a bit of time to look at what he's walking into, and certainly a salary cap mess is one of those things they do need to fix. So it's a bit hard to expect Kevy to solve that in 1 year. But he's only got a 2-year deal, Kevy. So if they don't look to extend him by the end of this year, he's going to come under next year with a lot more pressure, because he'll be fighting for his own future as a coach, but also expected to turn this team around pretty quickly, because they've got some signings for next year. They've got Adam Reynolds coming in. Don't forget, their best player, Kaepernick Staggs, hasn't played a minute of football this year, so he's due back in about 3 weeks. So there is a chance for them to salvage something this year, but Kevy did say at the start he wanted to fix their defence. That was his priority. And it hasn't worked so far. And whatever they're doing, they need to fix it, because if you can't defend in this NRL competition, you've got no chance of being a competitive football team.
Yeah, 100%. They've got the Rabbitohs, of course, to start off round 15. State of origin, mate. So up there north of the border, there's been enough time to sit back, shed some tears, have a good deep dive into what went on. How much difference do you think there'll be in game two for Paul Green's lineup?
Well, there'll be some difference, but maybe not as much as everyone suspects. You know, I think, you know, Josh Papali'i will definitely come back in. You can't ignore someone of his experience and ability. He obviously missed the first game through suspension. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Kalyn Ponga. If he plays a full game for Newcastle this week, then you would expect he would come back in at fullback. Outside of that, there may not be too much changing. You know, because obviously Valentine Holmes was fullback. He'd probably go to a wing, you'd think, then, with Ponga back. Josh Papali'i would go straight into the starting side. Hopefully Christian Welch gets through his game this weekend. He obviously suffered a concussion early in that first Origin game. And then you just look at the makeup of the bench, because obviously there are a few guys there that, you know, played some minutes, probably weren't as happy with how they went as they'd like. So then you've got guys like Jared Wallace knocking on the door from the Titans. And there's even talk of young Reece Welch, because obviously, because AJ Brimson hasn't played since Origin, and he was the bench utility. So there is talk that, you know, the young guy who was a Bronco at the start of the year and never got a chance here could actually end up playing Origin in game two. So you'd think it's either him or Ben Hunt who may get that bench utility role. So certainly some questions to be answered this week and by Maroons players. And I think Paul Green is taking a sort of pragmatic approach, because he can't get too far ahead of himself with the way the NRL is these days. Anybody could be on suspension after the weekend, and then they're out of selection reckoning. So they'd have an idea of who they want, but they're keeping their cards pretty close to their chest at this stage.
That would be the ultimate irony, wouldn't it? Reece Walsh comes in and plays a blinder, and poor old Kevy's sitting there watching, going, what could have been? Todd, appreciate your time this morning. I know it's busy up there, so thanks for the update, mate.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, they're incredible, isn't it? So 15th on the ladder, so equal last with the Bulldogs, the Broncos. They have conceded 436 points in the first 14 games. So 436 is the most by far of any team. You've got to go to the Bulldogs, who are below them on the ladder, to see 366, 380, I should say, if you go up towards the Titans. So 436, they're leaking an average of 31 points a game, the Brisbane Broncos. That's an average. And you just can't do anything like that and expect to go anywhere but south on the ladder in this competition. Right up the very top, the Storm have let in only 178. The Panthers have let in 133 points in the first 14 rounds. So while the Broncos are averaging 31 points put on them, the Panthers are averaging less than 10 against them. So there's big, big problems for Kevy Walters to fix. What do they always say about defence? Defence is an attitude. So we'll see how they go against the Rabbitohs. So the Broncos have the Rabbitohs, as I mentioned, up there at Suncorp Stadium, 15th versus 4th. Storm, by the way, have now scored 40 points 8 times this year. The record was 9 by Parramatta in 2001. So the Melbourne Storm, they've got a chance to equal the record against the West Tigers. They've got them on Saturday up at Sunshine Coast Stadium. Keep your thoughts coming via the text line. They're stacking up, so let me try and pick through a couple of them and wipe the board clean so you can have your say. Maddie, Coca-Cola is now a massive buy. This Ronaldo incident is the best free advertising they've ever got. Put it this way, if a cola beverage comes to your mind today, what is it? Is it Coke or Pepsi? I think we know the answer to that one. And if the price has dipped by the time the press conference ended, surely it's got to go back up anyway. People aren't going to stop buying this stuff. Mark says, Matty, new Coca-Cola brand, publicity zero. I like it. 0457 736 736.